Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Okay, well, good morning, guys. And who enjoyed that More Love, More Power? I know there's a guy called Steve who's online with us today. If you can see me, Steve, nice one. That we used to play that years ago, me, Tony, Steve. And it's funny, you're on for the first time. We haven't done that song. I can't remember us doing it before. And it's like God knows what's going to happen. And I just want to say something. You know that we're online now with various platforms, YouTube, Facebook, and others as well. And we do that mainly for other people. We want you to share that with others, send the links, get them in so that they can see and hear what's going on. But for the church, it's good for us to come in on the Zoom on the Sunday morning. One, because there is a sense we're together. And two, because you get a lot more this morning. There isn't notices with the online stuff, and we will share more here and minister more here live on a Sunday morning than you get from that. So do your best to be here, and group leaders, encourage your people to come in on the Thursday mornings. So, okay, straight on then. We're going to continue our series called Him Possible, where we see God do impossible things through ordinary people like me and you. And today we're going to look at one of my favorite characters of the Bible, and that is Moses. And we're going to read from Hebrews 11, 24 and 25, that says this, that by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing to be mistreated with the people of God than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And so as we enter into the story of Israel in the Old Testament at that time, try to be there, try to be in that place, seeing what's going on, enter into the story. And what Joseph had led God's people into Egypt because of that famine, but that was about about 100 years later. And what had happened, they'd grown into a mighty nation. Now you ask me, they must have been going at it like rabbits, because, you know, one family and 100 years later, they're a nation, mate, they must have been potent. That's all I can say. And so they grew into this great nation, but so much so that Pharaoh got fearful of them. He was afraid. There were so many of them now, their slaves, that he said, no, when the babies are born, throw the boys into the river, chuck them in, kill them off. And so what we see there is that Moses, before he even was born, was a victim of racial injustice, prejudice to its worst degree. You know, the Egyptians thought that they were the elite race and that they treated the Hebrews less than human, and that the Hebrews were there just to be abused. Sound a little bit familiar with today's story of what's going on? And Ecclesiastes 1 tells us this, that there's nothing new under the sun. And so what we see is God stepping in there, though. If we have eyes to see, it starts with Hebrews that says we've got to be men and women of faith, seeing the unseen, see the God that can't be seen, but we know he's there. Are you doing that? Are you looking to see God in your life daily, showing himself, not just in the Bible, in everything that happens according to the Bible? Look, see what God is doing, because God was at work at this time. He knew what was going on. He wasn't the one that caused the babies to get thrown in the river. That was man and his depravity. And we're so quick, each one of us, to be unjust and prejudiced in our own way. Every one of us. But that caused these babies. That was man that did that. But God used that. He was orchestrating something from that. And so as Moses was placed in the basket and he's going off down to his death, in the water, there was Pharaoh's daughter doing a little bit of kind of swimming, you know, probably that, you know, probably wasn't that one, you never know, it definitely wasn't that one. It wasn't that, but she was swimming in the water, and all of a sudden she saw a basket, and she said to her slave girl, go and get the basket, see the basket. And so her slave girl got the basket, and then Pharaoh's daughter went out and looked, and she saw Moses, and she fell in love. She said, no, I must have this, but I want to bring this baby up. And so the slave daughter turned around, and slave girl said, well, do you want me to go and get one of the Hebrew women to come and look after the baby, because you're not going to have time to do it? And Pharaoh's daughter said, what a good idea. And so the Pharaoh's daughter's slave went and got Moses' mum. And Moses' mum miraculously was the one that was able to bring up her own child. And even on top of that, the icing on the cake was that Pharaoh's daughter paid Moses' mum to bring up her own baby. Look at that. And I kind of see that there's some of God's sense of humour in this. That we always, we look at things so seriously, we forget we're destined for heaven, we get so consumed in this life, we forget that there's a reality that we're to live not in this world, but in light of heaven, a new identity that we're going to see. And so the reality was, all of a sudden, unknowingly, that the Egyptians were bringing up and looking after and giving all sorts of wisdom to the very person who would end slavery, end injustice, and end all that they were going through, the awful oppression and that. And so what God spoke to me as I read this week was this, that know the season that you're in. You can either kind of bellyache about all what's going on, and we do have to, you know, understand and grapple with it, but start to see what I am doing. Start to see what I am about at this time. Have you got eyes to see what God is doing? Or are you just thinking, how's this going to affect me in the here and now? What is this going to affect? Is this going to have on my life? Or you draw back and say, no, I'm part of this bigger story. There's something much bigger than me going on here. And then all of a sudden you start to glimpse, oh, this is what God is doing. You know, there's a reality that we are here on earth, but we are also in the heavenlies. That's what Ephesians tells us. And we start to be in the spirit. We start to see things from God's point of view, and God is doing a major thing. We are entering into a new era, church. God is shaking the church up, and you can feel it, I can feel it, and he's saying today, look over the parapet and see all that's going on so that you don't miss out. And so Moses grew up. He grew up, brought up by the Egyptians in the royal family, in the palace, no less. He had the best of everything. And Acts 7:22, Stephen said this, that he was taught with all the wisdom of the Egyptians. This is Moses. Now, the Egyptians at the time were the most advanced nation in the world. They were streets ahead of everybody. So Moses grew up wise. He was very respected. He had whatever he wanted. He was very, very influential, very powerful, and really successful as a man. And he had what he wanted wanted when he wanted it. Click his fingers and he had it. Whatever he fancied. Anytime, any place, anywhere, that was Moses. And then there came a day. There came a day when he realized that this isn't me. I'm a Hebrew. I'm not an Egyptian. And there was a day, maybe it was his mum sharing stories from the past, or I'm sure she did, of all that God did in the past. And all of a sudden, there came that day where he said, no, I'm giving it all up. Yeah, it's great, but I want to give it up. So all his privileges, all his power, all his influence was gone. He walked out on that. Can you imagine doing that? Imagine it yourself, walking out of a palace into a tent, and that's how you live. Hebrews 11:24 said this, that by faith, Moses refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He started to see that old life in a different way. And so by faith, he gave it all up. He tasted something better. When his mum was telling him, when he was a Hebrew with her, he knew inside there was something there, and I must be true to who I am. I can't live this fake life, this false life anymore. I've got to be the person that God's called me to be. That they're an obscure nation, this weird little bunch, and that, but there's something about them. God is working through them. There's something eternal in them, and I know it inside that I'm part of that. And it's the same with us today, guys. When we're born again, when Christ comes to live in our heart, there is a change that goes on within us. We have a new identity. There's a new story that we become part of. No longer are we defined by I'm a baker, I make croissants. That isn't who I am. No longer am I a fencer. This is who I am. No, that's part of it. But it isn't the major thing. No, we have that new identity. Your nation, the nation you came out, yeah, it's got a little part of it, but actually we're children of God, the sons and daughters, a part of a story that will go through to Revelation and on into eternity. And we are to live out a new identity now, each one of us. We have a new future. There is a new life to live. And Moses, he stepped out of the old way and 100% stepped into the new. This is who I am. This is who I am now. And so Moses started to see, the old life that he lived was full of things that offended God. Yeah, he could do what he wanted. He could do whatever he wanted. But actually, he knew that God would be offended by it. And so he turned away from the temporary pleasures of sin. And the temptations on Moses must have been absolutely immense. The comforts that he had around him, the power he had, wherever he went, he could get what he wanted. The lifestyle that he lived, suddenly it kind of lost its attraction. It was temporary. It didn't have the same draw that it had before. It was not only it was offensive to God, and it was also sin. And so I would ask you now, how are you doing with that? How are you doing? Have you walked out of Egypt? Are you still in Egypt? How is your sin issues today? I can remember first becoming a Christian and then being it for a little while, and my business, it wasn't as honouring to God as it should be. It wasn't 100%, I would say, at first. There was only a few areas. There was a couple of guys that I liked. We bunged a little bit here, we bunged a little bit there. And then there come a day when it was like, actually, that's not who I am anymore. I'm not going to do it. And one of them involved a big contract. And I said, I'm not doing it anymore. Actually, two of them did. And we could have lost everything then. And it's like, God, I'm just going to give it over to you, but I'm just not doing that anymore. And actually, one of them ended up in tears because I said it. He was convicted of, he was a Christian that married into the Maori tribe, and because of that, he took on her kind of spirituality, but he remembered suddenly he's born again and there's this new life to live, and tears came out of him, and I couldn't understand what he's crying for. It's like, no, he said, I remembered who I'm supposed to be. You remembering who you're supposed to be right now, what God has called you to do? I remember before I met Debbie, used to go to nightclubs and all that kind of thing and throw a few shapes about and all that kind of thing, And don't do that so much now, but I can do one or two, I know that. But anyway, so I got talking to this young lady. She was young because I was young then. That was about 30 years ago. Anyway, so, but she was attractive. She was very nice, very humorous. And, you know, we had some drinks, we'd done all that stuff, and we went back to my place, you know, to chat more, to have more drinks. And then it came to bedtime. And, you know, it was so tempting. You know, guys, and at this time, I wasn't going to church yet. I'd just come to faith through reading my Bible, okay? And I didn't know one other Christian. But I'd got my relationship with God. I knew inside what I was all about now. And so I said, yeah, you that bed over there is for you, and I'm sleeping in here. And she looked at me and laughed as if I was joking. I wasn't. I'm not joking. I'm not into that anymore. You know, I'm a Christian now, born again. And, you know, it was great last night, but you sleep there, I sleep here. Well, so she got up in the morning and she had the major rump, and she put me coat on and she went off. And do you know what? She hated me after that with an icy hate. And it was my coat, and she never gave it back. It was my leather coat. I couldn't believe it, you know. But anyway, so and I would still love it back. If you ever get to listen to this and you've still got my coat, you know who you are, give it back. Look at that. It's a sin. But I didn't jump in bed with her. I didn't take any clothes off. I didn't do any of that stuff. Why? Because I'd found something better than a few moments of ooh-ooh-ah-ah-ing. It's like it's just not... doesn't compare to what it means when you're walking with Jesus, when things are right with him. It doesn't compare. And this was where Moses was. He'd given it all up. He was now looking to God for his relationship with him. And that's what his life was all about. But let me say this. It wasn't a walk in the park for Moses. It wasn't. You know, apparently he spent the first 40 years serving Pharaoh. You know, in his palace, until God broke him out of that. He came to him, revealed himself to him, like he's revealed himself to you and to me. And he came out of that. But then he spent the next 40 years looking after sheep, you know, stopping sheep bite each other because they can, and protecting them from the wolves that are out there. And there are wolves out there today. But then it was the same thing, day in, day out, sheep, 40 years of sheep. And is that where your life is right now? It's the same old thing, going over the same old motions. You know, I love this quote by D.L. Moody. He said this: he spent the first 40 years thinking that he was somebody. Then he spent the next 40 years in a desert, realizing it actually was just a nobody. And finally, he spent the last 40 years of his life realizing how much God can do with a nobody. And you see, guys, where is the same God that called Moses that is calling you and me today? He knew Moses' name. He knows your name, and he's calling you now. Now, you might think that you're a somebody, or you might think you're a nobody. Now, if you're a somebody, you might be thinking, I wonder what God wants to do with me. Well, if you think you're a somebody, I know exactly what God's going to be doing with you, and it's called being humbled. Don't go there. It hurts and it's painful. It's better to be realize that we're not without God. But either way, this is it, because God is gracious. Whether you're a somebody or a nobody, God wants to do something amazing with your life. He's calling your name right now, today, and he wants you to respond to it today. He wants you to break free from your comfort zone, going round and round in circles, doing the same old thing. What is the next step for you? That is the question to ask. What is God calling you to do? But you could say to me, yeah, but Clive, you know, what could God do with me? Well, my answer is, what has God given you? What has he given you that he could use? You see, Moses, when he went in to start doing God's work, he challenged Pharaoh. Now, that was a massive thing to do. But all he had in his hand was a staff. It was a staff. And he did what God asked him to do with it. He threw it to the ground, and miraculously it turned into a snake. And that was the start of the miracles happening. And we all know what happened after that. Miracle after miracle, the waters parted, he saved his people. But it all started with a staff. He used what God had given him. He allowed God to use what God had given him. Are you ready to allow God to use you in that way? And church, I was thinking, well, what have we got that God could use? How could God use us? Well, I'll tell you what we've got. We've got a wonderful, loving family and community of God. And just imagine what he could do with us if all of us turned around and said, 24/7, 7 days a week, I just want to do what you've called me to do. And then dream a bit, guys. You know, when we went into lockdown, it seemed like the worst thing in the world. But actually, we had 4 midweek groups. Now we've got 6, and they're growing in strength. And keep going with that, guys. Keep inviting your friends in. It's easy for people to come in on Zoom meetings. Help them to grow. Encourage that. Keep them going. We've got online ministry now, so there's about 200 hits for this thing today. Within a few weeks, that's where it's ending up. About 200 times people are visiting in, and not everybody's from this country, or certainly not even from London. And it's like amazing with what God is doing with the little bits that we do. And then we've got the miracle nights, and they've just been fantastic. That story earlier from Sammy's mum got healed is amazing. And would it be amazing if hospitals started to send people to us? Other churches that we're related to have had that. This is what's coming, guys. And then we're going to have the School of the Supernatural, where we're going to teach people how to kick demons out. And we're going to do that stuff, teach you how you can pray for healing and more, how to prophesy, how to get words of knowledge, all this stuff so that we can be all that God has created us to be. We're doing CAP, Christians Against Poverty, where we go out there and we help people that are so in debt they're going to lose their houses. Debbie's doing that with others in the church. And then these 5 families in our local school here that we're going to be helping over the summer period for the families who can't afford to feed their children properly. 3 people have already said, I'm going to adopt one of them. I'm going to pay for the lot. And we've had others, a few others that have paid in towards that as well. Just keep coming. If you want to adopt one of the other families, let me know. If we get more money, we can help them even more. We're looking long term now, not just the 6 weeks holidays. So donate. I leave it to you guys. Get involved. Do what God is placing in your hands. So why is he placed in your hand? What have you got? You've probably got a lot more than you believe, right? So what abilities has God given you? What talents has he placed in you? What resources has he actually given to you that you could use? If God, you just give it to him like the staff and let him use it. You know, God can use anything. God can even, you think right now, I've got nothing. Okay, you've got pain. I know that you've got pain because all of us have. Do you know he can even use pain? And we see that. He did here. Man chose to throw babies in a river. People, babies created in the image of God, thrown to just die and drown before they have any chance to live. So painful. Imagine what the mothers felt as they saw their babies dying like that. The most painful thing ever, almost. And yet God used that to release his people and send his people into the promised land. The most painful thing turned around into something amazing. And then you look at Jesus hanging on the cross, the most painful way of dying ever that God would allow himself to die on a cross like that is outrageous. And it ended his life. So painful. But God turned it around. And because of that, we get saved. And he opened up eternal life for each one of us. And so church, we need to see at this time what God is doing. and ask ourselves the question, are we ready to embrace what God is doing? Because we are entering in, we're already in that season, the greatest challenge that the church has seen in our lifetime. Right now, we're in it. And God has got our attention. He certainly has got our attention. And I was thinking about it, what is it? You know, we can't meet together anymore. We can't hug. We can't socialize. We can't pray for each other as God commands us, asks us to do in the Bible. And then we can't even sing. We can't worship our own God. Everything that we were created for has been denied to us. And what is God saying in there? He's saying, I'm not happy with Sunday church. I'm not happy with people turning up one time a week and that's it. And they do what they like. They live in Egypt for the rest of the week. That's not what my son died for. That's not what I came for. I came that you would live the life. You do what my son did. Go heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers. This is the life that we should live. Jesus went about doing good and getting anointed and bringing the powers of heaven down to earth. This is the life that God has called us to, not just Sunday, not just our weeknight meeting, but every single moment of every day that God is calling us to get involved. That's why he's stopping the church from meeting. He's saying, I don't want that anymore. This isn't the Christianity that I died for. Every day, every moment, with every power from heaven at your hands, if you would just step out. This is why God has stopped it at this time. Shake us up and bring us back to the Christianity that we should be doing, each one of us. And you say, yeah, but we're stuck in lockdown. We say, well, what is God doing in that? Well, I tell you what God is saying in that very clearly. God is saying, if you would rather worship celebrities and put them first, I'm going to stop that. And if you would rather worship pop idols and put them first, I'm going to stop that as well. And if you would rather follow and worship sports teams of all sorts, guess what? I'm going to stop that as well. And if you worship money, business, finance, guess what? I'm going to stop that as well. That's what he's saying. I've stopped it. Why? Because Jesus needs to be the center of all that we are. Moses did all he did. He delivered Israel out of Egypt, not so they could go into the promised land and have everything they wanted. It was so that they could worship God again. That's why Moses did it. And that's what God is calling for the church to do today. Come and worship me again. Put me, Jesus, at the center of your life. He's calling us back to worship. He's calling us back to a reality that we are hidden in Christ, our life is that we would worship the God of the universe again. That's why he created us. That's why we were brought into being. And this is what Christianity was always supposed to be about. Guys, it's our time. Look over the parapet. We're entering a new era, just like Moses was through that awful time with the babies. Then all of a sudden, deliverance came. A whole new world opened up for them. Well, so are we today. Moses was entering people into the promised land and setting them free. We are entering a new freedom today. Each one, if we would say, yes, use me, God. And it's not about your ability. It really is about your availability. It's about you and God together. You know, you might say, yes, Clive, but I feel so inadequate. You probably say, yes, all right, for you, but me, I feel so inadequate. And that the truth is, do you know what Moses felt inadequate? He said, God, I can't even speak properly, and you're asking me to go to Moses. Can't we get someone else? We all... Do you know, there are times when I feel inadequate. Do you know what? It's okay to feel inadequate. And do you know what the truth is? Some people admit it, but some people don't. But we're all inadequate, each one of us. You ever had one of them nights where it's like, there's so much going on. I've got to deal with this. It's all changed here, all changed there. There's so much going on. We've got to stay on top of this and guide this one. And it was all too much. And I'm saying to God, God, I can't do this. Surely, is there someone else? Are you asking me to do this? I feel so inadequate. I don't feel that I can do this, God. Please just talk to me. Tell me who it is. And I really, you know, one of them nights where you're awake at night and you can't wait for the morning. You can't wait for the night to get over, you're all sweaty. And that, anyway, so the morning did come. And I went, I went to the bathroom and I looked in the mirror. I could see I had a sticker on my back. And I thought, how'd you go to bed and end up with a sticker on your back? And it was like, I don't know. So anyway, I got the towel and, behind my back and I'm trying to get the thing off and it wouldn't come off and all that. So I go into Deb and I said, Deb, have I got a sticker on my back? And she went, yeah, you got a sticker on you. How'd you get that? Well, I don't know. I said, can you take it off? Because I can't. So anyway, she took the sticker off. And that was it. I went in the bathroom and I went back in. I went, what did the sticker say? You know what it said? Sticker said, quality control passed. Look at that. Yeah, this is God. Yeah, with his sense of humor. We take it all seriously. And God likes to have a little laugh about it because he knows. He knows. And I know inside what that did for me. So two things on this. Is ask God. If you feel inadequate, ask him for confirmation. And don't expect him to be stuffy when he does it. Expect a sticker in your back on your back moment where he says, no, you can do it. And you can do it, guys. This is what the Bible's all about. And secondly, the truth is know that we are all inadequate. Right the way through the ranks. Me, Angela, Lloyd, Sam, Vicky, Joe, and we're all inadequate, guys. We're all inadequate. Praise the Lord. Because when we're inadequate, then Jesus can go to work. When we're not inadequate, we're cutting Jesus out, and then we go right back to the Garden of Eden. And we're not going to go there today. But Paul knew this. Paul knew in 2 Corinthians 3:5, he says, not that we are sufficient in and of ourselves. No, our sufficiency is from God. You see, from the death of Jesus, everything changed. Now God is in us. And all the powers of heaven are now available. The riches of heaven are available to each one of us. Know the will. Moses came and he broke Israel out of bondage. He took them out of Egypt so that they could be all that God created them to be. And that was a pointer to point to Jesus, who sets us free from the bondage of Egypt, the bondage of this world, so that each one of us can be all that God created us to be. It's what God loves to do, church. He loves to do. And so it mattered to God that Moses became all that God created him to be. And it matters to God that you become all that God created you to be. That's what he came for. It's what he died for. Not for him, so that you could become everything he called you to be. And so we're going to pray now. But let me ask you a couple of questions first. You know, Moses left the past. He left Egypt with all that was there to carry out his new identity, to live his new identity. Are you living your new identity today? Or are you still in Egypt? Or is Egypt still in you? And secondly, Moses had a staff. That's all he had. What has God placed in your hand that you could say, God, can you use this? He will use it. What is your next step that God is calling you to do in this new season? He's shaking Christianity up. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. What can he do through you? And lastly, do you feel inadequate today? It's a good place to be, but not on your own. And you're not on your own. Let's just pray. Raise your hand. We're going to ask the Spirit of God to come and just replace and give us all the strength and power and resources that we need that, you know, we are inadequate, but God will give the rest. And that's what he's going to do right now by his Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I pray, by your Holy Spirit, come. Lord, come. Lord, remove Egypt from our hearts. Remove Egypt from our mind. We're the people of God. We're the people filled with your presence. We're the people filled with your purpose, Lord. We're here for a moment, like a blade of grass that's here now and is gone for eternity. It's just momentary. Lord, help us to live for eternity. Lord, bring it, Jesus. Bring it, Jesus. Bring it, Lord. Spirit of God, come. Spirit of God, come. Spirit of God, come.